chapter 4. Praise the Lord. Now, we're going to pray this together. As we read it, let our hearts be lifted to all together then, shall we? And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And all the people said, Amen, and they shouted, Hallelujah. By faith, I'm believing that every one of the church will be spending an hour a day. You can easily do it. You can do that for, your meals or whatever is necessary. And it's a marvelous thing. The great thing is to start and keep going. But whatever you do, make sure that you engender or develop a love relationship with Jesus. If you don't do that, you'll find it irksome. But you don't find it, now, you young people, you older people, you've been in love, haven't you? And you young people too, as you meet somebody you love, you like to sit with them, you like to talk with them, you like to have a conversation with them. And when we fall in love with Jesus, we love to be in his presence. We love, I love that 16th Psalm, the last verse of that Psalm. It says, Thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence there is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand pleasures forevermore. Now the path of life is the path that leads us to the source of life. It's the path that leads us to the center of life. It's the path that leads us to God. That's the path of prayer. Amen. It's the path of communion. And it's wonderful just to keep that in your mind and say, I'm coming, Lord, into your own divine presence. Hallelujah. You may take 12 items, take 5 minutes on each of them. Well, sometimes you may go less or sometimes more on a particular item. And as you do, you'll find that the time will just fly. And you'll feel, oh, isn't it marvelous? And if you do sometimes feel it's a little irksome or you need to discipline yourself to wait in the presence of the Lord, let me tell you this, that something's happening just the same. You may feel, oh, I don't feel anything, but something's happening. Do you know the moment that you lift your heart to the Lord and lift your hands, it helps you. Lift your face, that certainly helps you too. But the moment you lift your heart to the Lord, the power and the energy of God begins to work in you. And something starts, it's the life of Jesus, it starts to flow. And you may, at some unfortunate time, spend a whole hour and hardly feel the touch of God. I don't know that you will, but you may do that. But let me tell you that while you are there pressing on, pressing through like that, even without any feelings, the life and the virtue of Jesus is flowing in and you're being changed. And when you get up to go away, you may look back and say, well, I found it hard, but I feel different now. You find that you're like a battery. You've got some charge in you. You've got the life of God in you. Oh, hallelujah. It's a marvelous thing to pray and to touch God. You're touching the source of life, the center of life. And all the people said, Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we'll look on our session number 3. Now, the first two lessons that we've had were introductory. And understand that, we're all hardly on the road. The first two lessons, the first was, what is prayer? And the second lesson was, it's going to be a hard road. Now, the third, we're on the road now, and the first peak we meet is the mountain of, or the peak of, unbelief. And next week we'll come across another mountain, the mountain of sin, and so on. And the journey now begins. So make sure you come every week so that you're journeying on. But understand that theory won't do you one little bit of good if you don't put it into practice. To learn to pray, we must pray. Wait upon the Lord, and if you can't manage an hour of a morning, start with a quarter of an hour. You can't manage a quarter of an hour, start with 10 minutes. But try and start at least with a quarter of an hour, and then get a little further, a little further, a little further, a little further. But
If you can possibly spend that time.
I can't get a nap, can I? I can't get a nap.
When I finish my morning devotions there, I say, look, Lord, I've got a streamline somehow or other. I'm not getting through. And I go on all day. Not on the knees praying, but the searching of the word and writing and so on all day long. I never stop. It's marvelous to live in God. It's marvelous to keep up with God like that.
If you're praying for something, look at that something and keep your eye on God. Now, prayer, the essence of prayer, the best part of prayer, is being in contact with God. And you'll find that when you begin to pray for things, you're likely to keep your mind around those things. Oh, Lord, this is that, and that's that, and the other, and so and so and so and so and so and so. But don't do that. But take a glance at it, and then lift your eyes, lift your head, lift your face, lift your heart, and say, Lord, will you undertake for that? And talk to the Lord about that to keep your mind on it. Because the only way you can contact God is through your mind, through your heart, through your thoughts. So keep your thoughts on God as much as you possibly can, because that's the lifeline. All right, someone else.
True and powerful prayer is doubtless prayer.
Yes. Did you have one, sister, you had to say?
Nothing defeats Satan like the
prayer. Oh, that's right. He hates the prayer of faith. Thank you, sister. Anyone else?
Matthew 17:20. If ye have a faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove.
Amen. That's right. Well, the great mountain we've got to remove is the mountain of doubt. Unbelief. Anyone else?
Unbelief, yes. Or doubt is a spirit and comes from Satan. Can and must be confessed as sin.
Yes. Yes, that's his weapon, unbelief. Yes, brother.
It got to almost the last hour of need, but God still met the need.
Praise the Lord, he certainly did, and certainly does. Now, unbelief then, as you've seen in the books, is deadly to prayer. Unbelief is deadly to prayer. And negative thinking can destroy the prayer life. Negative thinking can destroy the whole prayer life. We must believe God. I remember reading about an old lady and they were talking about prayer. She said, well, I can believe, she said. So anyway, she said, there's that mountain. She said, I'm going to pray, but that mountain's been a nuisance of a thing. I can't see very far out my place, that's standing in the road. I'm going to pray that that mountain will be moved. And she stood there and she said, Lord, I command that mountain to go in the name of the Lord. And she went to bed. When she got up next morning, she looked and the mountain was still there. She said, oh, I thought so. That's the trouble. She didn't have faith at all. But however, praise God, negative thinking can destroy a whole prayer life. We must believe God. And this is a matter of the will, not the feelings. Remember that. We look sometimes at a particular circumstance and we say, well, I can't believe for that. I just feel like... Don't worry about feelings. That's not the essence of you. That's only a part. What is the you of you is yourself and your will. And your will. And you say, I do believe, I will believe that Jesus died for me. I was thinking about this and I thought about him. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that blood, lose all their guilty stains. I do believe, I will believe, hallelujah, that Jesus died for me, and on the cross he shed his blood from sin to set me free. I am healed, hallelujah. I am strong in the Lord. I can do all things through Christ. And that's belief. But it's got to be inspired by God, and that only becomes inspired by God as you wait upon the Lord. You see, there are two realms, there's the natural and the spiritual. And the natural realm, of course, well, as the Christian scientists take that up, and the positive thinkers take that up, but there is a spiritual realm, and we'll see that in a few moments. about that spiritual realm. And then, and in the spiritual realm, we've got to be positive. There's got to be positive thinkers in the spiritual realm. But it's, I will, I'm going through, I can do. In God's name, I will provide. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's God. Now, there is only one scripture, a lot of talks, the whole book talks about faith, illustrates faith, and shows occasions when faith was mightily used. Only one definition given of faith, given in the whole Bible. And who can tell me where that is? Hebrews 11?
One.
One, that's right. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, in the Amplified, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as a real fact what is not revealed to the senses. That's the definition as brought out in the Amplified version. I'll read it again. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real, a real fact, that which is not revealed to the senses. Have you got a pencil and paper? Will you write down these six words, which gives us a wonderfully comprehensive definition of faith? The first is assurance. Faith is the assurance. Second, confirmation. Faith is the assurance, the confirmation. Next one, the title deed. Faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things hoped for, being the proof of things we do not see. Proof. Proof of things we do not see. And the conviction of their reality. Conviction. The conviction of their reality. Next, faith perceiving as a real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Fact. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see. The conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as a real fact what is not revealed to the senses. So you've got that down. Assurance, confirmation, title deed, proof, conviction, fact. Now, which one do you like best?
Assurance.
Assurance, that's a good one. I like title deed. I like title deed. I like to feel I've got the title deed. Amen. And who is the title deed? Well, the Lord Jesus, who's in my heart. Christ is in me, the hope of glory. And I know that he will bring it there. Now, faith is essential. First, because it brings eternal life. Eternal life. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. As I have already said, we believe with the heart, the will, even if we do not believe with the head, because the head sometimes tells you, you just can't believe. That's how I got saved, really. I got saved because I wanted to be saved. And I got so mixed up with agnosticism that I just couldn't believe. The head kept saying, look, you can't believe it. And I just cried out, oh God, I want you. And I'm coming to you. And praise God. And he opened the door and then I went. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. So it's the will. You see, the word God lays down this rule, whosoever will may come. Whosoever will may ask. Whosoever will. So, make up your mind that you're going to be the victor because you've got God with you and you're going to use that faith that has been implanted in your heart. Now, Paul, I was thrilled at Paul's declaration in Acts 27:25. Wherefore, sirs, remember he was shipwrecked and he had a vision during the night. God spoke to him, the Lord stood by him. And next day he got up and the sailors were very, very upset, distressed because they were afraid they were going to lose their lives. And he said, it's going to be quite all right. Everybody's going to get through. He said, God spoke to me last night.
He said, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God."
Isn't it great to be able to say that?
"Be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be given, even as it was told." Praise the Lord. Now, faith then is essential, firstly, because it brings eternal life, and secondly, faith brings spiritual power. Galatians 3:11-14. It brings a spiritual power. How does it bring spiritual power? Because it brings the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is given to those that ask Him, ask for Him. It's a wonderful blessing, the Holy Spirit. Oh, I can't understand. You know, some folk fight against the truths of the Holy Spirit. They say the Holy Spirit, or the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, is of the devil. And it's a very dangerous thing, because the Lord Jesus, when they said that to Him, that He was speaking and he was ministering in the power of the devil, He said, "You may blaspheme Me, and I will kneel before Him, but you dare blaspheme the Holy Spirit." Now, I know that there are many interpretations, really, of that, but I think it's a very dangerous thing anyway to speak in a blasphemous way as the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, He comes in answer to prayer. Faith is the switching on, as it were, of the power of God. When you want God to do something, He will only do it if you use faith. A prayer out of new faith, you've got to remove the man. Praise God. And so, when I was in Scotland, I lived alongside, I lived at a mill, a big bleach mill. And my quarters were on the side of a lathe, they called it, like a stream that came off from the main Almond River. And it was a diversion in the form of a channel, and it flowed into a mill, and there was a big water wheel there, and that water wheel was driven by the water, and Saturday evening they would close the sluice gates and the water would be stopped and the wheel would stop and all the machinery would become silent. But first thing Monday morning they would open that sluice gate and down the water would come and the wheel would start and all I forget the name of the things they used to pound on the linen as it passed through its various processes there and bleach and so on. But in a few moments the whole thing was alive because the water was flowing. And when the water begins to flow, the living water begins to flow, something happens. Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And you know, I feel that if we only allow the living water to flow, where does it flow from? From us, individually. But oh, if we could only let go, open the sluices and let the Holy Ghost come, praise His name. And all the people said,
Amen.
Praise the Lord.